How you doing tonight, man? The worship was so nice. Man, oh man, it's a great, great presence of God here tonight. Hey, this whole month I am continuing a series just simply called Spiritual Warfare, and we are going to have some fun tonight, beginning really opening up the most in-depth passage of Scripture on this topic in these next few weeks. And I pray that it's a blessing to you. Before we open the Word of God tonight, let me share something funny. Two pastors were standing at the street corner, each holding signs. One sign said, "The end is near." The other sign said, "Turn around before it's too late." A car was driving past that slowed down and finally stopped, and the man rolled down his window and screamed, "You religious people are crazy." Then he turned the corner and sped off. Only a few seconds later, there was a huge splash. The pastors looked at each other, and one finally said, "Maybe we should change our sign to say, 'The bridge is out.'" Okay, sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, is just quite an amazing teaching for all of us to understand about spiritual warfare. Verse 10 says, finally, or in conclusion, this is a long letter he's written to the church at Ephesus, and this is the last part of this letter, but also it's the climactic truth of this letter. He's really now emphasizing this like a lawyer would emphasize in his closing statements, the most important things he would like the people to remember. Finally, my brethren, ladies, it includes you, my sister and my everyone, and be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So that is not a suggestion. That is not some kind of, just a little sweet promise. It is a commandment from our God. So it is the will of Jesus Christ that you be strong. So the cool thing about it is this: God doesn't call strong people. God makes called people strong. So in the kingdom of God, no matter how you come in, you get strong. Okay? So we're the only gym in history that can guarantee results. Come to this gym and you will leave strong. So the kingdom of God is the place where we grow strong. For all of us, growing strong is the same process. It is time with God in prayer and worship and study of his word. The things that are, when we do spiritual things, they produce spiritual results and make us strong. But it is the will of God for us to be strong in this lifetime. And I'm not belittling anyone that's going through a weak season. I'm just here to tell you that's not going to last forever. So you're not going to finish your whole life feeling diminished and weak and incapable. If we're not overcoming, it's never God's fault. That was better than your acting. Okay. So now he's just really focusing in. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The word power there is the Greek word kratos. It's a magnificent authority word. It means dominion, manifested power, power that is shown, reigning authority. So God's power, God is by nature powerful. You know, in theology we talk about God being omnipotent, having all power, being omniscient, having all knowledge, being omnipresent, being everywhere. And so the all-powerful God says, just hang around me, man. Just hang around me. I will make you strong. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, "Have you not heard? Don't you know that the eternal God, the maker of heaven and earth, never has a bad day? He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't fall to bed exhausted, okay? He never sleeps. He gives power to the weak," Isaiah 40:29 says, "and to those that have no strength, he increases their strength. Even the youths will faint and be weary." Don't you see the assault on the young people of this generation trying to take them out? It used to be you had to be in midlife to have a crisis. We called those, colloquialism, just midlife crises. But now we're having 20 life crises. They're dirty love, Christ, because there's so much tension, anxiety, and pressure. It's like Satan's belching out of the bowels of his hellish armory every weapon he has against this generation. It's because God's anointed this generation for great things, and the devil is afraid of you. He's afraid of what God's going to do through you. So the Bible says we are to be strong. Isaiah closes by saying this, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not go weary, walk and not faint. I pray that all the time when I'm praying for sick people and they're having legs or back or hips problems. I always just, that just comes up from out of spirit. You're going to run and not go weary. You're going to walk and not faint. But the cool thing in the Hebrew, the word wait there is most often translated hope, but it's the word koval, and koval means to bind together by twisting. It's a great concept. It's three strands like a rope bound together. And so it's not waiting on God like sitting, we have a doctor here tonight, sitting in Dr. Todd's office waiting for Dr. Todd. That's not the kind of waiting we're talking about. This kind of waiting is the waiting where you join yourself to God. You wrap yourself around God, okay? The kind of waiting that says, I'm going to seek God, like tonight, Wednesday. Got a lot going on. Got some ASU student. Congratulations, Desmond, on the victory Saturday. ASU football. Got a lot going on, student, all this. And at church, well, that's how you get strong. Hitting the gym when everyone else is sleeping, okay? Welcome to the spiritual gym, okay? Your workout session tonight. Verse 11, Hebrews 6. Put on, therefore, so... The Bible never gives you a command without giving you the process, without giving you the method to have that command. So God says, be strong, my will is you be strong, and then he's going to talk about how to do it. So here, put on, therefore, the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, stand against the wiles of the devil. So Paul introduces there, the Holy Spirit through Paul introduces this beautiful imagery, which we're going to talk about for a few weeks, about the whole different features of the Roman soldier's armor. And he says, he's got his armor on, and he says, okay, so just like a soldier goes to war. So again, the Roman army was so massively successful. Not, you know, I don't think they lost a battle for 300 years. So, but can you imagine these proven, these chiseled, these gritty soldiers, and they got their armor on. Here comes the guy in his bathrobe. They're like, what are you doing? I'm going to war. Not like that, you're not, because you're not dressed for success. You can't face the enemy without being dressed in the armor of the Spirit, the armor of God. So the Bible is the word panoply. Panoply in the Greek, panoply is the full military armor, battle and display armor of the Roman infantry soldier's uniform. So he's got this whole thing, going to talk about it. So we have to put our armor on. Why? So we can withstand against. This word stand against is used twice in these verses. In verse 13 is the word withstand. So stand against means to vigorously oppose, bravely resist, standing face to face against an adversary. So now we're getting someplace because you never defeat the enemy by ignoring him. You can't defeat an enemy you won't acknowledge. You defeat the enemy by rebuking him, by exerting your kingdom authority. So we withstand. Why are we dressed? Because the enemy has some stuff. The Bible here calls them wiles. So it's the Greek word methodia. Methodia means schemes, trickery, treachery. So I just want to say a couple of things that are kind of important. And I don't mean them in any kind of condescending way. But for all of us in our natural state, the devil will always be smarter than you. But he will never be smarter than God. See, really intelligent people come to incredibly deceptive beliefs about life. whether it's atheism, agnostic beliefs, whatever it is, really high functioning people, because our minds are no match for the schemes of the enemy. So we don't defeat the devil in our humanity. We defeat the powers of hell, the powers of hell in our spiritual authority, in our armor, in our new identity as believers, in the tools, the weapons God gives us. So the schemes of the devil, his methods, his tactics, are always thoughts. So the devil's weapons are thoughts. They're thoughts. That's where his main arsenal is. And so we're going to talk about overcoming those things, thoughts that try to penetrate our life and to mess up our world. So we're in a spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is never what's happening to you. It's always what's happening in you. So the kind of upheaval of the activity of the enemy, okay? Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay? Let me just stop there. As long as you continue to fight people, you're only making things worse. Can I have an amen from this Southern Baptist congregation? Okay. As long as we only fight people. So we don't wrestle. I just have to remind people all the time, because this culture, especially Christians, kind of get sucked into these really stupid arguments. I'm upset about this. Stop it. Live above that. We fight devils. We forgive people. Okay? So hate the devil. If you got to hate somebody, hate the devil. Hate the devil. Love people. Fight the devil, forgive people. Okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, we do wrestle, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So Paul lists right here is the most conclusive, the most detailed expression of the hierarchy of hell, of Satan's chain of command. So just like any army, Satan has generals, and he has sergeants and lieutenants, and he has privates. He has a systematic kingdom, just like God does, okay? God has archangels, and then there's different kinds of angels, and the whole thing. So that's the way it is. There's government. Governments have those. Satan has that. So Paul says when we're wrestling those dimensions of powers. If you travel the world, so I've been in a lot of countries, it's amazing how when you go to another country, you can feel spiritually different things happening there. There's different kinds of positives, there's different kinds of negatives in different places of the world. Spiritual wickedness in high places, kind of ruling regional powers that affect how people think there. And Satan, so you can tell what Satan's doing by a group that people are thinking in a commonality of thought. And whenever that thought is at war with God, is different than God, then it's a problem. Okay? It's a stronghold. So a stronghold, anything that we believe that we refuse to change. So anything that we believe that's against God's word that we refuse to change. So anyways, we're in this warfare, and he uses the word wrestle. So the word wrestle, pele, means a hand-to-hand combat. And so the moment he said that, everyone got it, okay? So the Roman Empire worshipped the physical form. They honored physical strength. They honored manly strength, okay? That was a high virtue in their whole culture. So in every city that the Romans would conquer, they would build this temple right in the center of the town. And they would call it a palestra. It comes from the word pale, which is the Greek word for rest, to wrestle. So this palestra, this palace, on the outside, it looked like a museum. It looked like the Museum of Art. But inside, it was a gym. And inside, there was men fighting each other and wrestling and doing all kinds of physical training to make themselves strong, because they honored physical strength as their highest form. In fact, if you were a soldier, that was about as high you could be honored as a common person in all the Roman Empire. So these palestras would have three things going on. They would have wrestling, and when Roman soldiers wrestled, or Roman wrestlers, when they fought each other in the ring, there was never an end to the match. So either a person quit or they died. Either person, because of pride, most men wouldn't, quit. There was no rules. There was no rounds. Anything went. You could bite someone's fingers off. You could gouge someone's eyes out. So when Paul said we wrestle, all of a sudden he brought up such a powerful imagery. Wow. The second thing they would do there is they had this thing called they would box. And they had boxing like we have boxing, except it was a little different. No rounds and no rules. And the boxers, the boxing gloves, had steel spikes on them. So you could recognize a boxer on the street because his face would be marred. Hey, you must be a boxer. Either that or you got a bad acne. You got something going on there. So the boxing was a vicious sport. And then there was a third, and the highest, it was called pancraton. And pancratons were the very top athletes, like our football players and people in sports at high levels here. These were the best of the best. And so the pancraton was the same thing. It was a combination of wrestling and boxing. It was like ultimate fighting, okay? Any kind of fighting went. And same thing, no rules, no rounds, and no one ever left the ring that lost in life. So if you lost, you died in the ring. So when Paul said we wrestle, he said we're in a life and death true match with the enemy. I think it's important because I think often we are kind of lulled into a kind of spiritual complacency about the real warfare that's all around us. And so Paul said that we put on armor because the devil is trying to kill us. He hates us because he hates the God who made us, and now that we've discovered and that we celebrate. Okay? So we wrestle, verse 13 again, the re-emphasis on the armor, take up the whole armor of God, there it is again, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, a better translation is having overcome all, to stand. God's will for your life is victory. Thank you. God's will for your life is victory. For us as believers, we don't fight for the victory. We fight from the victory. Okay, our job isn't to defeat the devil. Jesus has already done that. Our task is to appropriate God's strength to his word and spirit, and then to enforce the victory Christ won over the devil by manifesting authority over him in our life. So we enforce Calvary's victory. That's what we do. That's what spiritual warfare is. So the devil's, everybody say the devil's defeated. But like a person who is legally defeated, but functionally operational, that's Satan. So we have to arrest him because whatever he's doing illegally. He's doing inappropriately. There's a great translation. I want to read those verses to you in the Passion Version. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Oh, don't you love that? Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the devil's strategies of the accuser. Love that. Because that's really the wiles, the methodology is working against people's minds. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor of God that provides all the armor God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. So my destiny is victory. Amen. I have DNA when I came to Christ. My DNA is that of a champion, of an overcomer. a victorious person. So whenever I'm not living in victory, there will always be a disharmony in my soul that tells me this isn't right. God has a better life for me than this. So it doesn't mean that God's angry at you, it just means that your calling is better than your living. And whenever you begin to rise in your lifestyle to your calling, there's a union inside of you of joy, a satisfaction, a fulfillment, a meaningful kind of purposefulness that really heals our lives and brings great value to what we're doing. Okay, so that's a great example of what God has for us. So we're in a spiritual warfare, but we win, okay? The only way we don't win is if we don't fight. Okay? Well, you still have to engage the enemy even though victory's been given you. So we still have to preach the gospel to the lost even though Christ has died for all. We still have to pray for the sick even though sickness has been appropriated. Our healing has been appropriated at the cross. So in that engagement zone, that's where we appropriate the grace that Christ gives us. That wonderful grace. There's a great New Testament verse similar to this in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Let me read it to you in a couple of translations because I just love this big time. And you, verse 13 in Colossians 2, and you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with them in Christ. When Christ came alive out of the tomb of death, he brought us with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Someone shout, my sin's forgiven. Okay, I don't have to beg, oh, Jesus, forgive my sin. He forgave your sin 2,000 years ago. When I confess my sins, I appropriate what he's already given me, okay? Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. So when a person died on the cross, it was a capital punishment, death punishment by the Romans. They would write out their, this was a thief, this was a murderer, this was for Jesus, they put King of the Jews. So they would write out who he was and what he had done. And so God took the sins that were written out. So the omniscient God knows everything. He knows our sins. And God erased it. God blotted out your sins. Once you ask God to forgive your sins, he has no memory of the sins of your past. That's why we are to stand fiercely against the accuser, the slanderer, Satan, who tries to bring up our past and poison our present, steal our future by condemnation, okay? Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, which was against us, it was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. Okay, this is a powerful verse. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Okay, so the word triumphing is the Greek word triumphant, where we get the word triumphant. And so the word triumphant was a Roman procession after a victory. They would come home from the battle, and there at the front would be the general, and behind him would be spoils, and the soldiers, they would have caravans of whatever spoil they would take, and then they would have the defeated princes, the defeated kings. They would be stripped naked, they would be enchained, and as they would parade them through the streets of Rome, the whole city would mock them and throw tomatoes at them. Look at that person. Jesus didn't just defeat the devil, man, he whooped him and drug him through. Look what I've done, okay? He is whooped, he is defeated. Okay, you're going to get this in a minute. I'm going to make sure you get it, okay? He made a public spectacle. The Passion Bible says it like this, translation. This realm of death describes our former state when we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. Someone shout, I'm forgiven. Okay. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record And that old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Isn't that good stuff? Okay. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of the devil, of darkness, okay? Stripping away from them every weapon and all of their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. That's really defeating somebody. Okay? So what, Pastor, what does that mean to us? Well, it means this. The devil is a defeated foe. Any place he rules, he does so by deception, not authority. So God helps us uncover his activity, exposing what he's doing, giving us the truth of his word and spirit, empowering us to overcome. I don't care what you're facing, you can overcome. Addiction, a sinful habit, a self-condemning heart, any kind of emotional or mental issues, whatever it is, they were all conquered at the cross. And so Christ so magnificently triumphed. And so the cool thing about worshiping Jesus is this, when we worship God joyfully, we are joining the triumph of his victory over the enemy. We are celebrating with you, Lord Jesus. The devil's defeated. The devil's defeated, okay? He's under our feet. He's conquered. He's vanquished. Pastor, why did we put on the whole full armor? So that we can, wherever we find him, enforce the victory Christ has given us over him. We enforce Calvary's victory by the authority we have as Christians, as the sons and daughters of a loving God, and that's nothing but good news. Amen? What God has done for us. Colossians 2:15 conveys this idea. This is from a Greek scholar, and it is powerful. Jesus gallantly strode into heaven, and a couple of scriptures down, you guys, in the video room, to celebrate his victory and the defeat of Satan and his forces. As a part of this triumphant process, he flaunted the spoils seized from the hand of the enemy. Yet the greatest spectacle of all was when the enemy himself was openly put on display as bound, disgraced, disabled, defeated, humiliated, and stripped bare. That's what the Bible says, okay? The enemy is defeated. The enemy is defeated. So, if the enemy is defeated, we have to so believe that we refuse to settle for nothing less than victory. Okay? Nothing less than victory. God's will for your life is victory. Turn to someone and say, God's will for your life is victory. Okay? Deception is always Satan's greatest weapon because that's where he manipulates our lives with lies. Okay? We overcome deception by the power of truth. I'm going to talk about some of that Sunday. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except one reason, to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I just say this really simply. This is really simple but profound theology. God's good, the devil's bad. If it ain't good, it ain't God. The fingerprints of God aren't on the evil things that happen in this world. And you have to believe that, because if you doubt the goodness of God, it will suffocate your worship. It will steal your faith in God's promises. So God is always good. His promises are always true. He is always on our side. Jesus said in John chapter 17, he sent out the disciples. He said, go get them, boys. He said, go heal the sick. Go cast out demons. Go preach the gospel. And they came back, and it's actually a bunch of them, 70. And Luke 10, 17 says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Behold, I give you authority. Everybody say authority. To trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So authority is more conclusive. Authority is more strategic than power. So let me tell you this. So if you're tonight in a hurry to get home and you break the speed limit, and it doesn't matter if you have a 50-ton Ford truck with these huge tires and you're just ripping the street. The cop pulls you over. And to your surprise, out comes a 90-pound woman. She comes up to your big old monster car and says, I stopped you because you broke the law. It doesn't matter if you're a 400-pound man and you have a monster truck. That little woman has authority. And she can enforce the will of the government. See, the moment you got saved, you got authority over every demon hell has. The moment you got saved. And it doesn't matter. Satan always tries to magnify his true authority and his true power, but he's a liar. Okay, so the passage, this is really cool, in the passage translation of the same verse, when the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name. And Jesus said, while you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Whew. You got to get that, because when you help one person tormented by the enemy, the whole power of regional darkness is shaken. When one person gets a miracle, the whole regional power of the enemy's oppressive activity causing infirmities of mind and body is shaken. Jesus said, I just saw hell have a heart attack, fellas. Because of what you did, I saw powers disarmed. And then he said this. Now, verse 19, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. Isn't that awesome? I like verse 20. However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is your true source of authority. And that's good. So Jesus said, I love the King James because it says, you will trample upon serpents and scorpions. Well, that's Arizona, man. Kidding me? Serpents. How many have had, I think probably everyone here has lived here any amount of times had a scorpion story. We were at someone's house, beautiful house, a few months ago, and in their massive big backyard, they were doing some construction, and there was an infestation of scorpions, and some little kids are with us. I think they killed 26 scorpions. They had little blue lights. They were just having, my wife was really into it too. Let's kill a scorpion. Let's crush him. Jesus said, don't. The scorpion is not above you. It's beneath you. Your authority has the power to destroy his works, to remove his influence, to defeat him. These boots were made for kicking, okay? That's what you were made for. You were designed for. And so as we grow in the understanding of everything I'm going to talk about, there's six very specific things that we're going to talk about in Ephesians 6 that are spiritual weapons, part of our armor, the whole armor we're going to talk about these next several weeks. And man, every one of them is an overcoming thing. But tonight, I just introducing this, I want to just let you know you're destined to overcome. You're destined to win. You're destined to defeat the enemy. Maybe you're the first person in a long legacy of family members that will break out of generational bondages. Maybe you're the first person that will conquer a sin that's besieged other people in your family. Maybe you're the first, but you're going to do it because your destiny is to overcome. Your destiny is to live in victory. Your destiny is, having done all, having overcome all, stand. It's the picture of a triumphant soldier. The enemy defeated, standing there, standing tall, standing victorious, standing satisfied, standing confident, standing knowing who they are, standing giving God the glory. Amen. I hear the sound of victory. I hear the sound of rejoicing. I hear the sound of triumph over your life. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening to me tonight. Would you stand your feet? Tell your neighbor, I am an overcomer. I appreciate everybody in the ministry who's doing anything for Jesus. We're all on the same team. It's the church, you know, the body of Christ sometimes stupidly fights against each other. It's just wrong, wrong, wrong. But one of the things I just like to remind people is that you don't need a deliverance expert. We have one named Jesus. And if you need someone else to take authority over things in your life, especially as a believer, the only problem is you won't be able to keep something you didn't get yourself. Satan will test you, right? But God wants you to take authority. God wants you to conquer the things that are trying to hurt you, the things that are lying, deceiving, oppressing in your life. You can do it. Every person here can overcome the enemy. Every person here can see miracles. People ask me, Pastor, I do go to the hospital. I went to the hospital this week to pray for somebody. I say, Pastor, will you please come and pray at the hospital? Most of the time I say, no. Why do you think I have a big Jesus and you a little Jesus? Spend a half an hour praying in tongues, read your Bible, confess healing scriptures, and you march into that hospital room like a soldier. You lay your hands on someone and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. That's how anybody can do it. Authority is for all of us. Victory is for all of us as believers. Amen. Hey, prayer team, would you please join me at the altar? Lord, we love you. We worship you and praise you. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven, everybody. We worship you, God. I want to pray for people. I'm just going to go after some stuff tonight. I'm going to pray for people that have struggled with mental infirmities. And, you know, I believe God heals through lots of ways. I have degrees in psychology. But I believe that Jesus can give someone a miracle. I believe that sometimes our issues are chemical and they can be treated with a therapeutic remedy in medicine. Sometimes our issues are psychological, can be treated through counseling. But however you got what you have, Jesus can help you. Okay? So no matter how complex or how engaged something you're going through feels like, I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ can heal you. He can heal your mind. He can heal you from anxiety. He can heal you from depression. He can heal you from suicidal thoughts. He can heal you from having panic attacks. Anything that God didn't send you, you don't have to keep. And we're just going, I just believe God wants to touch you. So if you say, Pastor Mike, that's for me. I've been having some kind of emotional or mental struggle. Would you come forward? Just let us pray for you tonight. We're just going to believe tonight for many miracles, people's hearts, struggling with discouragement or depression, with anxiety, with panic attacks. I know there's three people here that have panic attacks regularly, and God wants that to stop. So whatever your issue is, don't be in any way intimidated. This is a safe place, a healing place, a hospital. We're all getting better. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, worship the Lord as those that need prayer make their way forward.
Healing is here.
Come on, sing it. Healing is here.
Healing is here.
Yeah. Kwame, Phil, just have the people come down.
Healing is here.
There's a couple people over here. And I believe it.
I believe it.
Come on. If you know Jesus heals, come on, thank him tonight. He's touching lives. Healing is here.
Healing is here.
Healing is here.
Healing is here. Healing is here.
And I receive it.
And I receive it.
Come on, if you're standing up tonight, if you need a physical healing, would you just hold up your hand real big wherever you are? Yeah, just keep your hands raised. Just keep it raised for a minute. I'm going to ask, church, would you help me? Anyone has their hand raised, would you help me pray for these people right now? We're just going to find someone who has their hand raised around you. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak healing to your daughter. I command infirmity. I command pain. I saw three things, three charts, three events, three conspirators that all contributed to a kind of exhausting season. I heard the Lord say, tell her I've rebuked all three of them. I declare over your life complete restoration and healing by the name of Jesus Christ. God restores function, heals your body, your mind, your heart in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Come on, keep praying, everybody. You're doing good. You're doing good. Whoops. Thank you, Jesus. Healing is here.
Healing is here.
Come on. Make sure everyone's getting prayer that had their hands raised.
Healing is here.
Thank you, God.
Healing is here. I believe it.
Pastor Bill, will you help me pray for the people that are wrong? There's a person here tonight you've had in close proximity to your life, in family connections, two people commit suicide and another two attempted but didn't succeed. There's been rampant suicidal activity. And the Lord through you wants to do some stuff in your whole family. If that's you, would you wave your hand and let me pray with you? Because I'm believing tonight for a Holy Ghost invasion in your family. Okay. How you doing? Tell me your name again. Lord, I thank you for Anthony. As I pray for him, I pray for his whole family. God, I boldly declare that this assault of the enemy taking loved ones and oppressing and tormenting other loved ones ends. By the name of Jesus, I break this power. I rebuke this generational assault. I loosen the kingdom of God and all the healing promise and grace of a loving God to you, Anthony, to all your family members. I declare this thing ends. The more can we speak, God, to those too who have been in jeopardy and been in pain. We loosen now your comfort, your healing, your restoration. We bind the suicidal thoughts. We bind the spirit of death. And we loosen life and grace and healing. By the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, keep praying, everybody. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Dr. Todd. Keep praying for him a little bit. Thank you. You're doing good, everybody. Just keep worship me, God, just a couple moments longer. Thank you, God. Listen, if you need prayer for any reason tonight, we want to open up the altars. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't leave. Please let us pray with you. If you've been away from God, make this your homecoming night and let someone pray with you in faith and believe in God with you for a full restoration. Anyone else wanting prayer, just come down. We're going to take as much time as we need to pray for people. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Healing is here.
Healing is here. Healing is here.
Donald, there's power in the name of Jesus. Help me, Donald.
Because there is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
First thing is, if in your family there's been any kind of oppressive activity of the enemy, any kind of deceiving spirit, any kind of, I just put your hands together like they were chained. Just say, I break the power of the devil off my family. Just say stuff like, I break deceiving spirits. I break false religion. I break oppressive spirits. I break spirits of infirmity, break spirits of depression, whatever it is, we just break them off right now. They're all broken, they're all bound, they're all defeated in Christ's name. And secondly, if the devil's been messing with you, let's just do a little tap dance, okay? Jesus said you'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all. Just right there, wherever you are, even folks watching, just, you know, put your foot up and down and say, you know what? I'm stomping on the devil tonight. I'm trampling on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I want to live in victory. I take authority. Come on, just put them feet up and down. Let's do some scorpion smashing. Let's do some serpent defeating tonight. God, thank you for victory. We claim it. We walk in it. We exercise it. We enforce it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. To break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
God has a great purpose for your life. And the reason why there's been unusual, intense, difficult, kind of hard to explain events that have happened in your life, because the devil's trying to stop what God has for you. But I'm here to tell you, God wins. And God's going to do great things for you, young man. There's a great future in the hand of God for you. And I just declare that no weapon the enemy is formed against you can prosper. That God's assigned you, anointed you, prepared you for great things in this lifetime. So God, thank you for your hand upon this young man. Thank you for the great things you've determined for him in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, an awesome church. You can stay here as long as you want to. Tell someone next to you, Jesus loves you like crazy. Have an awesome rest of your week. God bless you.
And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain.